let not your hearts be troubled. This is an especially good word for us in these days of COVID-19. Admittedly, life is not always easy, and especially now. People working from home and also trying to teach their kids from home and homeschooling and crazy schedules, or some people working really long hours because they're part of those group of people who are out there keeping our lives going, working in grocery stores and repairing our cars, or working in hospitals or research scientists. This life can be hard, it can be difficult, and we all know more than ever it can be filled with evil and tragedy. Being a Christian, we know, does not mean that you are somehow exempt from sometimes direct and, yes, sometimes collateral damage that comes from all of the brokenness and evil that are in our world. But our Lord Jesus, through these words, he continues to reassure us that no matter what assails us in this life, no matter what the trials or layoffs or economic upheaval we might be experiencing, or the tensions at home, or sickness, or disease, or death itself, he has promised he will never, never leave us or forsake us. His grace is ultimately always, always greater still. It is fitting on this fifth Sunday in the season of Easter that the appointed text calls us to remember Stephen, the very first martyr for the faith. It is appropriate because though we live in the promise of Easter, in fact, right now, we're even in the midst of the season of Easter, still this sinful and broken world, we all know, can be sometimes really mean and ugly. And Jesus says to Stephen, he says to you and to me, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Believe in God. Believe also in me. These are the words of promise and hope and victory that our Christ gives to his very first disciples and still gives to you and to me today. Bottom line, it is the good news that our Lord Jesus, he is the one who gets the last word. It will never be the voices or the forces of evil or violence or lies. What do the scriptures say about Stephen? Verse 55. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice, and they stopped their ears and they rushed together against him. Yes. Evil will always hate the truth. Evil will always seek to silence the truth. Verse 58. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he died. What do we see in the death of Stephen? We see that Jesus gets the last word for him and for you and me. Jesus receives him into his arms in the joy of the heavenly kingdom. Jesus gets the last word. And his word is that promise to you and to me of a life with him that nothing in this world, no matter how messed up or evil it might be, nothing is able to destroy that gift of life he has given to us in his Easter victory. One of the best pastors' theological conferences that I have ever attended in my years of ministry was actually on the topic of martyrdom. It was at the Canadian Rockies Theological Conference of the North American Lutheran Church in Canmore, Alberta. Our topic was to focus on our very me-centered culture and how our Lutheran understanding of the gospel speaks very powerfully to our troubled times. Our keynote speaker was the Dr. U.A. Simonetto. And Dr. Simonetto is one of probably the most highly regarded journalists of our day, though an awful lot of folks who watch the evening news have never seen him or heard of him. He is a former religion editor of the United Press International. He was a war correspondent in Vietnam and an international columnist. He is also a very insightful Lutheran theologian and a former guest professor at Concordia Theological Seminary. Dr. Simonetto was born in Germany. Born in 1936, imagine all that this man has seen and experienced in his lifetime. He, with his own eyes, he saw the rise of real fascism in Nazi Germany. He lived through the carpet bombings in Leipzig. Leipzig was his hometown. And therefore, as a young boy, he experienced the total obliteration of his city. He remembers. He remembers distinctly his grandmother standing her ground against the intimidation of the Nazi officials from the brown shirts, and then standing up against the evil Gestapo of the SS. For truth, she would stand. For truth, daring to speak the truth to power no matter what the cost. He remembers what happened to the Lutheran clergy who spoke the truth, how they disappeared. And he remembers the Lutheran clergy who helped us propagate, to spread the lies of the Nazi propaganda. His critique of America and our Western civilization today is at the very least unnerving. The theological conference really became a critique of the rise of evil in our world today. And Dr. Simonetto, in that context, asks the question, what is necessary in order for democracy to still survive? He said, you must have two things. First of all, you must have a well-educated population that has been taught how to think critically. They have the ability to realize when they're being lied to and when they're being manipulated, and they have the ability to seek and to dig and to uncover, discover the truth. And secondly, a truly unbiased, objective, and free press. Dr. Simonetto believes that neither of those still exist in America today. To try and find good reporting, he himself reads 5 different newspapers in 5 different languages every single day. He fears for the demise of democracy in the West. And in the church, he sees major church bodies no longer proclaiming the truth of God's word, denying salvation through Christ alone, denying that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through him. Instead, churches are denying God's word and embracing universalism, the idea that Jesus is, a good idea, but just one of many ways of salvation. And with this populist understanding of salvation, anything goes. So why even bother to proclaim the gospel? And so it is in Leipzig, Germany today, he shared. The Lutheran pastors have been told that they should no longer preach good news in the hopes of converting the Muslims. They should not attempt to reach out to them, to share Christ with them. You should know that I myself have heard a number of our ELCA clergy here in the United States disturbingly say the exact same thing. What's happening in Leipzig is that the senior pastor of St. Thomas Lutheran Church, the church where Bach first played his awesome, beautiful compositions, all to the glory of God, Bach's church, the heart of Lutheranism, the senior pastor there has become the biggest advocate for the building of a new mosque. But guess what? In the face of all this, our God is always, always greater still. God is not bound by the lies of our day. He is not limited by our duplicity or the unfaithfulness of His church. And therefore, Dr. Seaman Netto reports that while the senior pastor of St. Thomas Church in Leipzig is trying to build a mosque, at the same time, there are record numbers of Muslims in Leipzig that are coming to saving faith in Jesus Christ. How can that be? You see, Jesus, the risen Christ, is directly appearing to them in visions and dreams and proclaiming His love and salvation to them. And they are sharing those experiences with one another that the Jesus of the Bible is true, that He is the Savior of the world. And they are being joyfully led to faith by the Baptist churches in Leipzig. Dr. Seaman Netto believes that a time of great persecution is coming very quickly to the churches here in North America. Already the seeds of this persecution against Christians, they are being sown and they are being widely accepted in our culture. If you have ears to hear, I'm sure you have been hearing it. If you have eyes to see, I'm sure you have been seeing it. But in the face of all the world's brokenness and evils, in the face of all that can go wrong in our lives, and so often does, we are God's Easter people. We hear the word of our Lord in today's gospel, the word of our risen Lord, and we know that He has given to you and to me that promise of a victory in Christ that will never leave us. He has given us a life that nothing can destroy. And therefore, Jesus is the one who says again and again to lift us up, to strengthen our hearts and our faith. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Believe in God. Believe also in me. I would leave you with these words from hymn number 764 in our hymnals. Have no fear, little flock. Have no fear. For the Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. Have no fear, little flock. Amen.